It's a heaping helping of today's comedy.
Hello, I'm a famous person, and I'm for sale.
Comedy 1031.
Robots. Robots work in my grocery store now. They do. You know how a grocery store works. You bring your items up, and the checkout clerk grabs them, and they wave them over a laser beam, and the laser beam adds them up. You pay the clerk. They put your food in a bag. You take your bag out to the car. Well, with the new grocery robots, you bring the food up to the robot. You wave the food over the laser beam. You pay the robot. You put the food in the bag, and you take the bag out to your car. Because my grocery store got all of my letters where I said, I want to be a checkout clerk. So, and by the way, the grocery robots are not zipping around the store booping and beeping. They are cemented to the ground. They don't leave the store. And good for them, because there's badass robots out in the world. These guys would be the prison punks of the robot world. They'd be at the bottom of the ladder. It's like, what kind of robot are you? It's like, I'm a drone plane. I drop bombs over enemy countries. Like, wow, that's awesome. What kind of robot are you? I weld the sides onto aircraft carriers. What kind of robot are you? I know how much kumquats cost. Punch. So they are safe in the supermarket. The first time I saw them, I had my card. I was like, what the hell? I didn't know what they were. And then a checkout woman swooped up and said, do you want to know how this works? Which broke my heart. She's already working as a checkout clerk. And then she came into work that day, and the manager said, today your job includes introducing the public to the robots that are putting you on the street. Make sure to do that. And then my heart broke even worse when she explained how it works. I was like, yeah, how does this work? And she said, okay, here's how this works. First, I got pregnant in high school. Then my baby's daddy decided not to leave his wife, but he did stop being my guidance counselor, so none of my transcripts went to colleges. Now I'm going to take you through the next 11 years and 8 seconds. Ready? Meth, 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 biker boyfriend, dead cop, technicality, rehab, Jesus, pharmacy assistant, meth, checkout clerk. Then wave your food over this laser beam and place it in the bag. Do you have any meth? No? Then we'll end on place your food in this bag. That's how this works.
Patton Oswalt.
I am a weary traveler of the skies. Recently I sat in between the two worst people in the world on a flight. I was in the middle seat. They were father and daughter, coincidentally. The daughter sounded like this. Daddy, 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 can I have my laptop case? She was like 25, by the way. And the father, have you ever seen a father whose family is so terrible that he's given up on talking? She was like, daddy, I need my laptop case also. And he was, swear to God, his response was, he did speak clearly once, though. That's when I asked if he wanted to switch seats. He said, no, no. That wasn't the really bad part. Stories about what happened when we started to take off. This is all true. As we were taking off, he reached across, and she also reached across me, and they clasped hands over me, and he started counting down from 10, and she started naming all the people in her life that she loved. Love you, Mommy. Love you, Daddy. Love you, Uncle Rick. Love you, Jeremy, which I don't know who he was, but good for him, he made the list. And what is clasping hands? That's an antiquated form of showing affection. That went out in the 1950s after World War II, you know, when it was inappropriate to French kiss your wife before you went to war, so you just clasp her hands and say, take care of the little ones, Margaret. She'd say, my name isn't Margaret. You'd say, it doesn't matter. I need your strength right now. But you can't clasp hands inches from a man's nether areas. I didn't say anything because I'm kind of a coward in real life. But I did think of two things to do. Tell me what you like better. First one is, obviously, I could have just slowly pushed upwards into their hands, and then when they're like, what are you doing? I just say, what are you doing? Trying to get me to call you daddy? Or the other one is, what could they have done? What would they have done if I just slowly put my hand over theirs? And then I just whispered under my breath, you mind if I get in on this? Dearest Prince of Darkness, Lord Satan, extinguish the non-believers on this plane. Gladly take my life in the process. Always remember, Satan, you are my daddy, 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 daddy.
T.J. Miller.
A turntable is a mechanical device that contains both a rotating disc and a needle.
If it's got a groove, it's funny. It's the vinyl classic on Today's Comedy.
I had a dream myself. I've had this dream. I had it like 3 nights in a row. That means it's true. I don't know if you knew that. You dream of something 3 times in a row, that means it's true. And what it was about, I went to heaven. And the first thing, there's this angel fellow. He didn't have no wings, but I just took it. He must be an angel. He meets me there, you know. And the first thing, he gives me this box. And inside of the box, there's like 3 umbrellas. There's a couple wallets, loose change, a couple gloves in there. And I think, what's this, you know? He says, now that you've lost your life, you get to have back everything that you lost during your life. It's like a lost and found box, is what it is. And it's great, you know, this gives you like a start in heaven. You think people that are so together never lose anything, you know, they're so great. It's like they're really at a disadvantage. When the game's all over, you know, they got a box full of nothing. But I had all of this stuff, you know. And then I'm waiting. I said, well, you know, I'm ready in that. You know, I thought I'm going to be judged. You know, judgment time. And he like smiles, and I know right away. He didn't say nothing. I knew what he meant. You know, and it was like, who do you think you are? You know, you're going to go see God. You know, and when you think about it, God, you know, he's so busy. He's got, you know, so much business all over the universe to take care of. God's got like the whole world in his hand, like the song says. He's got billions and billions of plants, like Carl Sagan says. You know, he's in charge of the whole ball of wax. So he's pretty busy. And what this guy said to me, he says, you get to see God, but you got to wait 8.5 years for your appointment. 8.5 years. And he says, and you're in a group. There's 10,000 people in my group. And the appointment's like 8 a.m. Just my luck, you know, overslept. Oh, no. Gotta hope I don't oversleep for that one. You know, better set 2 alarm clocks. You know.
Father Guido Sarducci.
Sometimes I wish my wife would get hit by a truck. That's a horrible thing to say. I know, it's horrible. And I thought we were friends. I thought we could talk. Sometimes I want out, all right? I'm going to be honest. Sometimes, not all the time. Most of the time it's good. But sometimes I want out. But I don't get out. You know why I don't get out? Because there's another man waiting to sleep with her. And I could not imagine another man sleeping with my wife. So I stay in. I stay in. So if my wife gets hit by a truck, problem solved. If my wife gets hit by a truck, because I like her parents, and her parents like me, and if she gets hit by a truck, we'll probably still be friends. And here's the best part. I can be a complete drunk, and people will defend me. Hey, man, why is Steve drunk all the time? Shh. His wife got hit by a truck. Why is Steve doing cocaine off that stripper's? Hey, have a little respect. His wife got hit by a truck. I had a dream when I was a kid and she stole it. I'll tell you my dream. When I was a little kid, my father took me to an Astros game. Yeah. And he told me, he said, bring your glove. And I said, okay, but they're not going to hit it way up here. And I sat up there like as a little kid, and I looked down, and I used to see those guys that sat behind home plate, and I used to tell myself that one of these days I'm going to grow up, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to be the guy that sits behind home plate. And I'm proud to say I'm proud to say last year I was able to do that. I was able to do Don't clap, don't clap, don't clap. Don't you dare clap. My wife was involved, Captain Evil. That's what I call my wife, Captain Evil. She's like a messed up superhero. If I'm ever having too much fun, she will show up. What's going on over here? What are you, smiling? We gotta go, we gotta go. I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm hot, I hate him, I hate her. And I'll tell you how it happened. I was sitting at home and I called my buddy up. I said, me, you, opening day, home plate. And I hung up the phone. And here comes Captain Evil. How come you didn't invite me? I said, first of all, how did you hear that? You're in the kitchen, I'm in the living room. How come when I'm screaming at the top of my lungs for a beer, you're nowhere to be found? Now I'm having a private conversation in code in your satellite ears all of a sudden.
Steve Trevino.
It's a great big dose of today's comedy. Comedy 1031.
So it's great to be alive, isn't it, folks? I think so. I almost died last year. Actually, I didn't almost die. I didn't even get hurt. It wasn't a near-miss plane thing. I was flying from Beaumont to Houston because my manager doesn't own a globe. I was on a plane that big, like a pack of gum with 8 people in it. We took off from the Beaumont Airport Hair Care and Tire Center there. We're traveling at half the speed of smell. We got passed by a kite. There was a goose behind us, and the pilot was screaming, "Go around!" We get halfway to Houston, we gotta go back. It's a 9-minute flight. Can't pull it off with this equipment. We had engine trouble. We lost some oil pressure in one of the engines, and they told us about it over the speaker system of the plane, which was stupid because they could have just went, "Hey, we lost some oil pressure." Heard ya. Sure did. It was weird. Everybody on the plane was nervous, but I'd been drinking since lunch, and I was like, take it down. I don't care. You ever have one of those days? Hit something hard. I don't want to limp away from this son of a... The guy sitting next to me is losing his mind. Apparently, he had a lot to live for. He goes, hey man, if one of these engines fails, how far will the other one take us? All the way to the scene of the crash. Which is pretty handy, because that's where we're headed. I bet we beat the paramedics there by a half hour.
Ron White.
When I see these militant African Americans on television... Yeah, that got you quiet, didn't it? You can talk about every minority except black people, and then white people get a little uptight. Oh, Jesus Christ. There's some here, doesn't he see them? They might have ice picks. Well, if you're white and you're feeling a little uptight, I suggest you might have a problem. Because everybody in this audience is just a person to me, okay? And that's how I feel about the whole world. Let me tell you something. I'm watching the black mayor of Washington, D.C. I'm sitting on the couch, I'm having a beer, and the black mayor of Washington, D.C. said, "The white man owes the black man reparations for slavery." I fell off the couch. I spilled my beer. It's okay, I licked it back up. The white man owes the black man? Well, they're going to have to wait another 300 years. At least in my case, because I owe Sears, MasterCard, Visa. I gave my land to the Indians, and I'm paying for Spanish lessons. If there's some 200-year-old ex-slave out there, we might owe him some money. But these rappers, these millionaire rappers that have diamond wristwatches and gold chains and millions of dollars, and they're always oppressed. That's oppression? Give me some of that oppression. Did you ever notice how pissed off those rappers are all the time? White man keeping a brother down. It's open season on my white ass. Cool, and it's just simple. I tell all women and minorities, don't blame me for the past. You want to dig up my grandpa and kick his ass? You go right ahead. And let me tell you something else. I make fun of every minority except Jewish people because I want to stay in show business.
Jeff Wayne.
See, the problem with relationships is people want too much, man. People want too much. Everybody's looking for a soulmate. We're soulmates. We're soulmates. We're one. We're soulmates. I'm a Pisces. He's Aquarius. We're perfect. We're soulmates. It's incredible. It's incredible. His moon is my star, and it's a soulmate. We're soulmates. And we complete each other, and we finish each other's sentences. And the other day, it was raining. I said, honey, it's getting ready to rain. And he said, rain too. It's amazing. It's like we're telekinesic. We're telekinesic. It's incredible, my God. Nobody gets a soulmate. It don't happen. You're never gonna meet the perfect person. You're never gonna meet somebody that loves Seinfeld and the Wu-Tang Clan. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. And even if you meet the perfect person, it ain't gonna be the perfect time. You're married, they're single. That's right. You're Jewish, they're Palestinian. You're Mexican, they're raccoons. You're a black woman, he's a black man. There's always an obstacle in the way. You never gonna meet the perfect person. It's never gonna happen for you, okay? Every now and then, God likes to play practical jokes on people. That's right. God will send you on a double date with the perfect couple. You ever been out with the perfect couple? You ever made the mistake of going on a double date with a couple that's actually in love? You in the middle of your relationship, and you actually sit down with two people that's in love? You can't even eat your food because you can't believe what you are witnessing. You got a fork in your hand. You're like, oh, he's really listening to what she got to say. Wow. They really like being around each other. Man, we can't hang with them no more. They gonna break us up.
Chris Rock.
This is Troy.
Troy, my name's Burcham.
Yeah.
I'd like to coach some Pop Warner football.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, we're all filled up with that. We've already started. We're already going through the season, so.
Got a kid who wants to play some ball, too.
Call me next, like I said, in March or so.
He's 12 years old. He's a big boy, though.
I don't care how big he is. We don't play Pop Warner rules here.
What rules do we play?
I got my own rules here, buddy.
Oh, really?
So we don't use the weight limits. We got my own weight limits.
I like your style.
Yeah, we got a little different weight limits.
I got a son. He's 11 and a half. He's almost 250 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big kid.
He's a big boy.
Uh-huh.
This kid will sit down and eat 9-10 Lunchables in one sitting.
That's a big kid.
Oh, he's a big boy. Takes after his mother.
So he'll be a sixth grader coming up next year?
He's going to be going into the sixth grade. I held him back a year so I could get his playing weight up.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a big kid, and you know what? I taught him well.
I guess so.
He knows all the moves. Spearing, blindsiding, forearm shiver. He does it all. He'll take
really?
A kid's head off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I seen him hit the punter 20 minutes after the guy punted the ball. I mean, the kid was on the sideline. He went after him.
See, when he crushed
me. Oh, man, when this kid goes up the middle, he goes in hell-bent for re-election.
Heck of a kid.
And I tell you, I taught the kid well.
I hear you.
Yeah. I tell you, call it Pop Warner football. You know why? Because your pop warned you if you get hurt. That's what I tell him.
You got it.
Yeah, kid's tough. Big kid, needs a special helmet.
We'll see what we got, buddy.
First year he played, I couldn't find one big enough. We had to modify a Coleman cooler.
You put a Coleman cooler on his
head? Well, not the full-sizer. Not the one you put trout in, but the six-pack one.
Oh, the six-pack Coleman cooler?
Yeah, I put it in the oven, I heat it up, and I molded it around his head.
You put the cooler in the oven and heat it up, put it on his head? Holy cow.
Well, you don't heat it up till it starts bubbling. You just warm it up so the plastic becomes pliable, and then you can pull it on his head, and if you hit it with the hose, it'll freeze in whatever position it was.
Okay, that's crazy.
Worked out good, except for the ear holes got screwed up and he got an infection.
Uh-huh.
I call him the Minister of Defense.
I got you, buddy.
I train my kids. They're like screaming warriors.
I got you, buddy. Let me get it. I got a call coming, bud.
All right.
Thanks.
All right, no weight limits, right?
Right on, brother.
All righty.
Later.
Adam Carolla.
But anyway, as I was saying, we're basically into the intellectual scene up here, and that's why we're not into that kind of entertaining, huh? Hey. And it is an intellectual town. I enjoy coming here. Like, for example, see, things are always happening to me up here that are just so above everything else. Like, before the show, I was standing backstage, and a couple came back, and they asked me if I was bi. And, well, I studied a little Spanish in high school, but not enough to really be bi, you know, but I didn't want to look stupid, so I said, yeah, I'm bi. And they said, well, we would like you to come over after the show, because we got some S&M people coming over. And I said, hey, great, Spaniards and Mexicans. So it'll be interesting to go there after the show, speak a little Spanish, and have the intellectual thing. Now, this is what I'm into. I'm not sticking with the regular stuff tonight. You paid the money. You paid $4? $4.50? Believe me, sometimes, hey, it's a good investment. Sometimes I come out here, I do $4.75 show. I might do a $5 show, so, yeah. I never, if you pay $4.50, I don't do a $4.25 show. I keep going. I do a $4.50 show, and that's it, baby. So you may make a little bread off this tonight. I'm into bread. I love money. I love everything about money. I love to eat it. Eat money. You say you can't take it with you? I'm taking it with me. I'm into bread. I love bread. I bought some pretty good stuff. Got me a $300 pair of socks. I got a fur sink. Oh, let's see. Electric dog polisher. That was a good one. Gasoline-powered turtleneck sweater. And, of course, I bought some dumb stuff, too, you know.
Steve Martin.